roads we walk have demons beneath. And yours have been waiting for a very long time.
You know why I'm here.
I'd like to hear you say it.
What is this? We can't do this.
Is this supposed to be a game? I thought this was some kind of
what? Trick.
Of course it's not a trick, it's a plan.
What's the very worst thing you can do to your very best friends? Tell them your darkest secret.
Hi and welcome to a new episode of You Podcast. My name is Asim Burney and I'm joined with my regular co-hosts.
Martin.
And Ahmed.
And this week we're kind of reviewing Sherlock season 4, and I think we'll try to do every episode as it comes along every week. It's kind of a new way of doing things, so it might be a shorter podcast because we're just talking about one thing, but we'll try to do it every week and just kind of give you an update about our thoughts about it. I think we're all pretty big fans of the show, right? What about Ahmed? I'm actually not 100% sure how big of a fan you are. I know Martin really likes it, but what about you?
Oh no, I've always been a huge Sherlock fan. I'm really glad they did a bit of a futuristic twist to it. Like that really is what won me over. Like it's in the current time, not the original time of it.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean? Not futurism, like 20 whatever.
Yeah, I was like, when did they go
to
space?
Happy New Year to everyone, by the way.
Oh yeah, Happy New Year. The thing why I didn't want to post it, because I'm so lazy with editing, that I'm like, maybe I'll just post this in April or something, you know, so it'll be just old. It'll date the podcast if we say Happy New Year. But yeah, Happy New Year to everybody listening. Martin, man, you saw something that we want to kind of quickly talk about, because we haven't had a chance yet.
Yeah, it was late, but I did eventually get to see Rogue One today, which was really nice.
Yeah, so what did you think, man? I already saw it. Ahmed is seeing it tomorrow, so let's have kind of a
tomorrow night I'm seeing it, yeah.
Yeah, non-spoilery chat about it. Or let's see, Ahmed, what do you know about the movie?
Nothing at all. I refuse to watch any trailers or anything at all. I'm just going in completely blind. Am I going to hate you guys and hang up right now, or, like, what's the story?
No, I'm just kind of wondering what you know about it, what you know, like, clearly, I mean, because I actually went in like you, I didn't know anything about it, I just knew the timing of it, like, where it's placed, that it's after the prequels, but before the original ones.
Same here, that's as far as I know, or as much as I know.
3 and 4, so that's what I kind of knew. So, Martin, what did you think about it?
I really liked it. Got to say, and it's good because Gareth Edwards, who I thought honestly had directed a couple of quite slow, sort of unimpactful films, has really done well with this one actually. So yeah, fair play. It's good.
Yeah, I was not that impressed with either of his. Like he made Godzilla and before that Monsters, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and. I wasn't bowled over by either of those that much, and so I was kind of worried, and especially because the next Star Wars movie is being directed by one of my like favorite directors, Rian Johnson. So, and this one was kind of it's kind of a spin-off, or you know, it's not about the Skywalker family. So I think even for Disney, it was a bit of a risk how they wanted to kind of place this movie. But yeah, it was pretty darn amazing. And like, I think the question that everybody's kind of asking, did you find it better than Force Awakens, or did you kind of, cause it's a very different approach to what Force Awakens tried to do, right? So did you enjoy it more, Rogue One, or did you enjoy it less?
I think I probably enjoyed it more.
Yeah, I thought you would. I had a feeling you might.
I think I prefer it, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough one for me. I still can't decide. I really like them both. Actually, it's funny because I saw Rogue One, and then I came back home and I put on Force Awakens immediately. and it's still such a fun movie, man. I do still love Force Awakens. But we're trying to be, like, the action is great, right? And, like, it has some really cool action sequences.
Yeah, it's got some really good sequences. I think as soon as I think as soon as you get the sort of opening introductions out the way, then it's really good. That's the only sort of thing I would say, but just because Ahmed's here and I don't want to spoil it for him.
Let's tread carefully, although even the whole world has seen it, so I was hoping we could get in deeper. I just kind of assumed Ahmed had already seen it, but
don't blame me, blame Belgium. Our cinemas are a little bit special. We tried to see it when it actually came out. It just didn't work out.
Okay. No worries. I remember the time where we had to wait like 7 months to get the Star Wars, the prequels, when they came out. Belgium was one of the last countries to get it. Like India, China had already seen it. The world had seen it. At least the advantage was we didn't have Twitter and Facebook, so nobody could really spoil it that much. I think avoiding as much spoilers, that's as much as we can talk about it.
It's a bit unsuccessful because of me. I know.
So let's just jump into Sherlock, right? Let's do that. I don't want to start this discussion personally. Like, I feel like I'll be like just railing against it. Like, maybe Martin, you can. You seem to be the most positive usually out of all of us. So maybe you can kick it off. Like, the new episode of Sherlock just premiered. I think Sunday. You're right. Sunday, right?
Sunday. It was New Year's Day. Yeah.
It was called The Six Tashers, obviously. That was a good name, actually. What did you think of The Six Tashers? What are your general thoughts about the Sherlock show?
I mean, for one, I thought it was going to be about six men who fix the roofs on old cottages in England. which, sadly, it wasn't to be.
Sadly.
No, it was.
Okay.
Sherlock Holmes grand designs.
Exactly. fixing thatched roofs on countryside cottages in England. No, I really liked it. It was I was just so happy with the fact that it just wasn't what the last one was, because the last one really annoyed me. The one off.
Yeah.
The one-off Christmas special, that kind of annoyed me. So I was just happy that we were a bit more back to sort of regular formula, and just that things were just a little bit more, it's okay, I can deal with it. And then they obviously recapped the shooting at the end of the previous series. They dealt with that pretty well, I think. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I think there's more and better to come. Mm-hmm. I think they can probably ratchet the pace up a little bit relative to this one. But there were some really good touches in this one. So it was very nice, and it was a welcome return to form. I think, like, that's my sort of my general sort of thought at the moment.
What about you, Ahmed?
I was very, very excited. So before it came out by a couple of days, I went online to see of any things. And when I came across the name, I looked into it more. So I was actually expecting the original story of him chasing after six heads of Napoleon to look for the Black Pearl. So I was completely expecting that. So you can imagine how kicked in the face I was when I was, I was like, what the hell is happening? This is amazing. Like, you know, because what I read on the internet was just like, really, in comparison to that, is like boring shit. I was really, really happy that the show is back again, especially after a long break, because also I wasn't super impressed with the one-off time movie special that they gave us. And I don't know how you guys handled the almost 2 years break or anything, but that really messed with my timeline of the show. Like, a lot of things were coming harder and I was forgetting a lot of things. And it was an unpleasant first 5 to 7 minutes trying to piece things together and remember them and stuff like that. Anyone experienced that, or just me?
No, man.
Maybe just you.
No, I'm with the right with Ahmed, man. I had lots of trouble following this show.
Yeah,
the problem, like, when they're writing this show, I don't understand what they expect from the audience in a way. Because, like, they just randomly will do a show every 4 years, 5 years, 3 years break, 4 years break. It's insane. There's no kind of rhyme or reason to it. Then they'll just come in with a Christmas special that's a one-off, you know, set in the past, and then they'll go continue back with the story. It's like, I don't know if they want us to watch the whole, all of the 9 episodes before it, before we start, embark on a new season, or do they feel that the flashbacks and kind of the context they give within the show, is that enough to kind of get you on board? And I don't think it, either of those solutions really work for me, at least as a viewer. Like, I don't have, I just can't watch, you know, 9 episodes just before I watch this one. And I just don't feel that the explanation and kind of context that they do give in the show is enough for me to kind of like, who's this guy again? Like, because in a way, like, even the 3rd season for me is kind of a bit weaker, because like, when the Reichenbach falls happened with Moriarty kind of, you know, committing suicide, for me that was kind of an end to that first arc of the show. And I didn't necessarily like season 3 that much. I didn't like the villain in it. I didn't like how they kind of resolved everything, because there was a big gap between season 2 and season 3 too, remember?
And
Sherlock had kind of died, and then there was kind of the resolution to how he'd survived, and nobody found that really that satisfying. So if 2 out of the 3 episodes are not really working for you, it doesn't leave that much. I was actually a bit more positive about last year's season, the episode, the Abominable Bride. I thought that was kind of cool, but it just messes with the story structure of it, you know, because you're just going back and forth and you just don't know what's happening anymore. I had some real trouble with it.
I've got some bad news for you, because I don't think that the show can be made any more regularly than it is now.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
And I think it's just because of Martin Freeman and Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah. I mean, when this started,
I mean, he's been, you know, he's been the Hobbit for the past few years.
That's true.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they both of them have amazing careers now. It's going to be really difficult to sort of pick up the regularity.
Yeah, and I also think they kind of just do this because they really enjoy it more than anything. Because I don't imagine the BBC pays them a lot, especially not compared to where they're getting Hobbit money and Marvel money, you know. So,
can I have some Hobbit money? Where can I find it? what do Hobbits use for money?
You need to find it. You need to battle a dragon to get it, though. So, like, I imagine they do it because they really enjoy it, and they really kind of, you know, probably love the camaraderie and the people that they work with and stuff like that. And I understand it. But maybe that's a good reason to end it after this season more than anything. You know? Like, I mean, for me, like, I think they've had a good run. And unless they do bring Moriarty back, I don't know if I... Like, let's talk about this when the 3rd episode happens, and I'm, like, super excited. I'm like, oh my god, I never want this thing to end. I'll wait 10 years for another season. at the moment, like, maybe I'm just bummed out by this first episode, but I was just thinking, like, the first episode... There's only the first episode of the first season that's been really, really good. Since then, the rest has been kind of mediocre, I feel. Kind of like the first ones, it's always a bit disappointing, and then they kind of pick up pace with the second one and the third one.
It's true, actually.
But I feel this kind of is in that tradition of the first episode is kind of weak, and everybody's like, this is what we waited for 4 years. Like, oh, this is it. And I just also feel like there's a sense of disappointment in just kind of the online buzz about the show, especially about this kind of starter. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Ahmed, you knew this story about the 6 Napoleon heads? What were you saying?
Yeah, no, I was just reading to see what would be the next thing. And then when I typed that, I came to the 6 Napoleon heads, and essentially it's the same story. Well, not the same storyline, but they were looking for a pearl stone that's hidden in one of the Napoleon heads. So essentially this is the same thing. And then I don't know, or maybe I'm just reading into it too much. Well, I thought I really saw a big... surprised face on Sherlock's expression when he mashed the last Thatcher statue. And like, it looked more than puzzled that he saw the memory stick rather than anything. So I don't know if later on they're gonna kind of like add something in a way and link it to Moriarty or whatnot, but or maybe I'm just simply reading too much into it, you know.
Right. Yeah.
I
didn't get a chance to watch it a second time. I was hoping to do it before the
recording. Same here. I really, really wanted, but it didn't work out.
Because there was a lot going on, and there was a lot of kind of, you know, going back to what's happened in the previous episodes and, you know, kind of setting the groundwork for the arc of this season. But there was also still so much action scenes in it and, you know, running around the world and this Absolutely. And that. And I was like, there were a few... And there were... They seemed to be traveling all over the world for like one shot or one scene, and I was like, seriously, did BBC spend that amount of money to go to Tangiers for this one scene? What's going on here?
Like, that's all done on a set, I'm sure.
Yeah, unless it's done on a set, but some shots were still like, I wonder how they would have done it.
Borrow some footage from the Bourne.
It did look very Bourne film, right? Yeah. Let's try to break down the episode like scene by scene or something like that, you know, like the segments at least. So I think the first few moments is Sherlock coming back, actually coming back from being exiled or whatever he was. He was kind of exiled, right? He went away on a plane. I don't know if he was forced or he was...
He was just sent away for the killing.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's kind of what I thought of it. So he's coming back and he's with his brother Mycroft and kind of an underground bunker of politicians and secret machinations going on. And it seems that they've kind of erased the story of what happened before. And they've kind of, you know, messed with the footage and this and that. What did you kind of think of that intro scene? Because it's kind of the first scene of Sherlock coming back after, you know, 2-3 years. If you're not counting the Abominable Bride episode. How did that work for you, Martin?
It was good because I had very fresh in my head actually how the other one ended, because I found it really disappointing. So... I was glad they just sort of cleared it up and they dealt with it and moved on, and that was it really. They didn't need to go much more into that. Happy days. I was buying that story, no problem.
See, my issue was that I kind of figured it out. Like, I knew that the secretary was going to be playing a bigger part in it. Just that little interaction that Sherlock had. I hate that I know this, I might, you know, mess everybody's fun in thrillers and riddles and anything like that, but usually the clue to solving a riddle is within the first sentence, you know, and nowhere else. The rest is all just kind of filler. It just seems such an odd interaction that I was like, yeah, I think something's afoot there. And it's not the game, but something's afoot. I don't know. Maybe that was just me, but I was really disappointed by this episode, to be honest. And then we kind of jump into Watson and Mary's post-marital, post-baby bliss, right? Ahmed, how did that kind of segment work with you? How do Mary and John like work for you in the show?
Actually, I hate that the first thing I'm going to comment about the show is to say that, but one of the main things I have for the show is a lot of hatred for Mary.
Why?
I just hate her character. I think actually her character was designed to be hated.
Really?
I'm with you, Ahmed. I was sort of happy with how things happened.
I would actually like to get back to this point later on when we have...
You get into spoilers?
Spoilers, exactly. So I'll just keep my feelings for later on for the spoilers.
Do you think she plays it too glibly, the actress? You know, that she's a bit too... You know, I don't know, like...
I don't know.
I wonder if it's just, you know, a bunch of dudes... writing a female character and then being surrounded by a bunch of dudes that maybe it just doesn't work. Like the anti-Elaine, you know? I don't know if that has kind of a factor to play in it. Yeah, I like Mary. I like the character of it. But it's funny because with there being so much break between Sherlock episodes, I've been starting to watch a lot of Elementary. I don't know if you guys watch that show, and it's probably the only procedural I watch now that The Good Wife is done. It's just not a genre of show that I watch. You know, I always complain to you guys about, like, I need, like, a season arc and kind of a, you know, a story that goes, like, is shorter and isn't 25 episodes or whatever. But Elementary just seemed to be that one show that I still kind of watch. And it's funny how the dynamics are so... have evolved in that show, whereas in this show it's still kind of very much the same, especially between Sherlock and Watson. And obviously there's the whole, you know, bromance theme, homosexual theme going through it, which they kind of play a bit with. And I'm sure it probably was prevalent in the books too or something. But because in the Elementary they've switched genders with Watson, and there is no romantic interest, it's like purely platonic, it in a way almost makes it more interesting, and it just seems that they can trust each other more, which I enjoy. Also, I like Lucy Liu a lot. So, it's just a funny thing to kind of, you know, get out of my Elementary space and get back into Sherlock and see that they're still kind of bickering like an old married couple. And yeah, Mary is kind of just kind of hanging around there, right?
Yeah, just hanging around, nagging. She's a bit of a nag.
Yeah, it's a bit of unfortunate.
But for me, it's really funny you would mention Elementary, because for me, what killed Elementary was Sherlock, because they came out around the same time. And after I saw the first season of Sherlock and then the first season of Elementary, I'm like, yeah, I know which boat I'm in. And I ignored that show afterwards, and I think my wife ran with it for at least another couple of years or something like that.
Yeah. I think it's just because I got to it very, very late, and Sherlock was on a break, and I just kind of got into it, and I actually really enjoy it. And it's just such a different show. You can't even compare it to Sherlock, but it's like a proper American network, you know, show. It's closer to something like CSI or whatever, you know, more than anything.
But since you're comparing, since you said American show compared to Sherlock that we're watching, do you remember in the beginning when he said that his plan for Moriarty is just simply to keep doing what he's doing and solve cases and stuff like that? So in that little scene, there were like 6 cases that he solved. Now, for anyone who watches American shows, they know something like the Canary Trainer and the Circus Torso and the Duplicate Man and all that stuff. That's like 2 episodes per mission, you know what I mean? So it's just, that's when you know that you're actually watching a really good British show instead of, you know, something American where they're going to milk it, and just make you just go completely crazy to find something about Moriarty finally, you know?
Yeah, it's an interesting way to do it, but because they've already done this a few times now, I just kind of didn't even read the titles or whatever was going on in the world, because I knew it was completely inconsequential.
No, I was more interested in that because I was like, you know, they must be showing it for a reason. And I don't know.
I think the next scene is kind of the kind of the main mystery that starts, right? The father that gets the call from his son, and kind of that setup where Sherlock is then called in to figure out what happened to the son. What did you guys think of that kind of setup and that mystery? I don't know, like, Martin, man, I was just watching it, and I was like thinking that the whole element is so kind of British, like class kind of thing, like upper class, you know. I don't know, was there any more context to that kind of scene that I missed, or is it is what it is on screen, basically?
No, it's pretty much as you just as you see it. I don't think there's anything to be read into it other than what you have. I mean, it wouldn't be unusual for a conservative cabinet minister to have a bust of Margaret Thatcher.
Right. Okay, I thought there was maybe some more context that I was missing or something.
No.
Yeah. So the Sherlock kind of solves that mystery quite quickly. Did you guys kind of figure it out? Do you still try to figure things out, or are you just kind of, because I'm like always like my brain is totally working. Like I'm like, yeah, this is I think this is gonna happen. This is or are you guys just kind of going with the flow?
No, I try to figure things out. I'm not saying it works out always, but yeah.
Yeah, I can never figure things out anyway, so I've just given up now.
Yeah, so even that mystery I kind of figured out quite quickly, I'll be honest. Like, I was like, damn, man, you don't need Sherlock in there. You just send Watson, he can figure it out even. But I think the interesting part was that then the kind of pivot to the main story, and especially the weird obsession, but like Sherlock has been claiming from the start that this story arc with Moriarty is not over, and he's kind of, you know, that's the mystery he sees in it, and he kind of wonders about this bigger mystery about this bust being broken and this break-in kind of happening, and then it kind of, you know, pivots from there with some breaks here and there, and I think the next scene is then the John Watson in a bus, right? If I'm not.
Oh, right. This is the what the fuck issue that I have with the
explain.
Yeah, the whole kind of Watson secret in the show. That's the scene you're talking about, right?
Yeah,
the whole cheating mystery thingy where he had the woman. Yeah. That really, really intrigued me because I think it was just there because he's the only one that doesn't have his own secrets. I really don't see any other angle to it, you know what I mean? Like, why are they telling us this? Like, we know very well that Sherlock has a whole lot of his secrets that he doesn't share with anyone. Well, after watching that episode, you know, definitely Mary has her own closet full of secrets and stuff like that, and then you just see Watson as just like an open book to both of them. So I think he just needed his own mystery or his own secrets that he gets to keep to himself and kind of dramatize or go through it. No? Or am I just not right in this?
What do you think, Martin?
I didn't really add anything to me, to be honest.
For me, I think it's more set up for what's going to happen later on. I think it's kind of more that. Maybe Watson has a thing for women in wigs. but more than that, I think...
Can you hear that sound? That's the sound of Asim nailing it again. Nailed it, son.
That's the pin dropping. I'm just saying that you need to be a very ballsy cheater to have best friend Sherlock Holmes and your wife a super agent spy and still cheat on both of them. You know, like, that dude needs to be horny, man. That dude needs to be horny to do that. And I was just kind of wondering, because apparently I just read this, because the character that the actress and actor that play Sherlock, Watson and Mary were married in real life, and they've actually broken up. So maybe there was something there that they kind of, you know, wanted to add a layer to it or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Which also kind of puts kind of a meta layer towards the ending of the movie.
Yeah, that's the first thing that I thought. I was like, that would make sense.
Mm-hmm. So, the actress's name is Amanda Abington. It's a shame that I still don't know her. And her IMDb picture looks much better than she does on the show. Anyway, that's beside the point.
For most actors.
No, I just felt like, I think they were pushing the whole angle of... Like, again, maybe I'm just touchy about it, you know? Like, I love having my kid. I thought it's pretty awesome being a dad and being in that family unit. And I'm just tired of, you know, media always portraying it as tough and everybody's just like, we lack sleep and we forget a flower behind our ears or, like that kind of thing. It's just like a very negative view. So it's just kind of something that irked me. And it kind of annoyed me that, you know, the guy is like, oh, I'll just go fuck around women in wigs and now. You know, I don't know. I just expected more of Watson. Like, in a way, I expected more.
Like, Austin is disappointed. This is what he's trying to tell everyone.
I am, man. He's
disappointed with the moral of Watson in the show.
I am, man. I'm like, your fucking wife gives birth to a child, and you're gonna go fuck around somebody. This is beyond me. It really annoyed me. But maybe that's more of a personal thing than anything else. So what happens then? I think the reveal happens, right? With what the meaning of that they're not actually chasing the Black Pearl, but it's a USB key. Right? And what did you kind of think about that? Because obviously it's one of the first time that Sherlock has been totally wrong, you know, about something as far as I can remember. He just had this one completely on the wrong end.
Yeah, I was also thinking the same, actually, that this is when he totally stuffs it up.
Hmm. So was that kind of a welcome surprise to you, or?
I liked it. Yeah, I liked the fact that it was good that it had been written in, put it that way, there was a flaw in his character.
Because I had no recollection of this USB key at all. So they put a little flashback in it, and it's good for me because I had no clue what was going on there.
Oh no, I needed the flashback.
Yeah, you need the flashback too.
A lot of people would have needed the flashback.
Yeah. So he ends up having an underground kung fu fight with this special agent that we figure out that was part of one of the four, and Mary was one of them. Another pet peeve of mine, the guy's name is AJ, they call him, but it's clearly Ajay, which is a really regular Indian name, and the guy is also an Indian, so it just annoyed me to no end that they kept calling him AJ, which is not a name, but again, a pet peeve of mine. But what did you think kind of this all-out kung fu fight that they started having suddenly? Because, again, I think this is the first time we're seeing something like this in Sherlock. Obviously, the character is known, you know, he's known as a martial artist, Sherlock Holmes. It's always been part of his story. And it's been used a lot more in the Guy Ritchie version of Sherlock than in this one. How did that work, the action scenes, Amit?
Oh, I really loved him because the last time we saw action with him was in his pilot. Unless I'm not remembering correctly, but yeah. But I enjoyed it. You really, really see that Cumberbatch put a lot of effort for these action scenes. They were very well choreographed, but they were not on a level of actually a TV show to me. It actually looked like they spent a bit of good budget on it. Like, it's almost like a movie type.
Mm. I just generally don't see Sherlock as a TV show. Like, don't see it. I actually really compare them like as a low budget movie or something like that. You know, which is a great testament to the quality of the show.
Absolutely, but
they're almost like, you know, trilogies that we get every 2-3 years or something like that. I did wonder, is it possible to punch somebody underwater and it hurts?
No.
I know apparently you should punch a shark in the nose, right? That's like one of the myths. If a shark attacks you, you should punch him on the nose. But can you actually punch somebody underwater?
And make it hurt?
I guess if you're close enough.
Yeah.
I guess, but I don't know, actually.
See, yeah, if you're Jean-Claude, maybe, yeah, but otherwise I really don't see that happening.
Yeah, see, clearly my mind was already on other things when I was watching this the fight scenes. What did you think of the action? Because there was the martial arts part where they're fighting against each other, but there's the whole kind of special ops thing that happens too, right? The operation where all these agents are dropping and they're shooting people. That was also quite action-y, I felt.
That was quite nice, actually. Mm. I quite enjoyed that little segment. Quite enjoyed that, yeah.
Are we talking about the final scene with the operation and all the special op force people and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Because that I had a big issue with.
Oh, yeah. What was your issue with it?
Like, they were useless. They did fuck all. really, they did fuck all. Everyone just stood there. Not one of them fired one shot, did something, screamed, nothing. Just, it's like the director said, well, all of you guys right now are fucking extras. You do nothing. You just stand like decoration. And that was it.
Somebody asked on the question on Twitter, if they had four agents and they killed two of them and they recovered two USB keys, why didn't they just take the USB keys of the other two people that died?
That too, see? I didn't even think of that. But yeah.
No, good call.
Twitter.
No, but yeah, I had a bit of an issue with the last finale scene.
Mm-hmm. And I think after that, we just pretty much go into the big reveal and the kind of the spoilery section. So maybe just let's start talking about that. If you haven't seen it, we're going to get into the spoiler section now. Amit, I remember you had some issues and you wanted to get back to it when we were talking about Mary, right?
Yeah. So pretty much in a nutshell, this is how I felt about Mary throughout the episode. She annoys me. Oh God, I hate her. Oh God, fucking die. And then she moves Sherlock out of the way and she takes the bullet. And then straight away, I cover my mouth and I'm thinking, oh, what a dick. I feel so guilty. She's such a good person. And then that hatred explodes by a fucking billion when he opens a DVD that says Miss Me and I see her face when I was fucking expecting Moriarty. That just did it for me, and the hatred was just deep inside of me, and it's just staying there, dude. Like, it's just staying there. I hated her.
That's messed up, dude. I didn't know your issues with Mary ran that deep, to be honest, before I asked you that question.
Yeah, them's issues, I gotta say.
Them's issues. What about you, Martin? What did you think about the kind of final reveal? And also the little bit of globe-trotting that goes around, you know, that I was kind of talking about earlier.
Yeah, that was all just a complete waste of time, wasn't it? They could have just cut to the end and just made the same gag. But, No, I mean, obviously not with quite the level of sort of animation that Ahmed shows there with his disregard for for Mrs. Watson. I was tired of her character, I think, and I was not that sort of, I wasn't that bothered that she died in the end.
Because for me, that was the kind of, like...
Or, correction, I wasn't that bothered that she got written out. It didn't really matter how she got written out.
Yeah.
But she's no longer in it, and I'm kind of happy.
Yeah, from a story point of view, I think it's justified that she's been written out in a way, right? I think she was kind of just hanging around, and it's not the actress's fault or anything like that, but it's just the way the character is written. And I did enjoy... her in previous episodes, but this one, it's just because I'm kind of down on the entirety of the episode, I can't even find the arguments to, you know, like, put a positive spin on her that much. But I did like the kind of final speech with the, after she gets shot with Watson, when she's kind of talking to him. I liked Martin Freeman's performance because he just gives like a guttural grunt, like almost animalistic, the moment she dies. And I also like that the fact that it left Sherlock speechless. You know, Sherlock had nothing to say anymore. But I think we were talking about it while we were watching, and I just feel the whole episode is like just 85%, you know, spinning wheels and spinning plates, and then kind of just having that emotional punch at the end of it, and that's it. And I don't necessarily feel the episode justifies it, but the story and how it will go further does justify it. And I actually liked that. I liked the final DVD of Mary, that it wasn't about some mission, because I was thinking, man, she has some mission that Sherlock now has to solve. But it was really about, again, these two guys, which is kind of the base of the show more than anything, right? And they can't continue the bromance if the wife is there, right? So
that's really interesting. You see it that way, because I actually, but I didn't want to say it, because after that hate rant, I actually saw her intervening with the bullet to put a divider between him and Sherlock, because for someone who is a super duper spy, instead of diving into the bullet, why don't you push him away or pull him away? And that's why I was saying, that's why I have issues with that scene, because there were at least 4 to 6 other special operative that not one of them tried to intervene in a way or another. You see my point?
Yeah, I think it just kind of...
So
I think it was just the arrogance of Sherlock, you know, more than anything. And he kind of talks about that when he's talking to later on with his psychologist, and when he's talking about it with Mrs. Hudson, I think. You know, that it was basically his arrogance that got Mary killed more than anything. You know, he was just thinking that I'll just walk in, I'll say something smart, and this lady will just, you know, fold. And it didn't happen. She did something that even he didn't predict with all his calculations and machinations. And I think he was just so shocked he couldn't move anymore, and Mary kind of just stepped in. So I think it kind of plays towards that. I think also a lot of the anger that Watson is feeling towards Sherlock is probably, you know, transference of guilt, because he himself cheated on her. But he's kind of, you know, that guilt, he's just putting all of that blame on Sherlock, that it's all Sherlock's fault, and he took a vow, and, you know, he should take the responsibility, where Watson just probably feels terrible too, that he never was able to explain to his wife what happened and how he, you know, get some redemption about what he did or did not do. I'm pretty sure he did it. Yeah, that's how I kind of saw the whole thing.
I actually saw it as more of a flirtatious thing. I don't think he actually went ahead and cheated on her.
I think just because the time span between, because it's intercut the way the Mary character is globetrotting, in real time, exactly. That's probably like 6-7 months, right? And yeah, Watson's a whore, man.
Oh my god. See, I have very strong feelings about Mary, and you have very strong feelings about Watson. Marty, you're left out. Who do you have strong feelings in this episode for, man? And you have to define yourself. Is it love or is it hate?
Well, the thing I was going to add was that obviously Watson would have known where his wife was, so if he wanted to cheat, he would have been like, well, where is she? Oh, she's in Bangladesh this week. Okay, right. She's not been back for ages.
Yeah.
I'll carry on then.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a weird one.
But I have to admit, out of this whole thing and this episode, I really fell for their bait. Just before they revealed that it was the receptionist, Sherlock was having a conversation with Wycroft, and he started going off at him as if it was some kind of an interrogation, and he's like, you know, sentiments, they're such bad things, and they always lead you into trouble. And he started asking about Agra, and he's like, what thumb drive? Where's the thumb drive? Did you ever use these assassins? And I started thinking, holy crap, is it actually Wycroft that's betraying them? Or, like, what's happening there, you know? I really fell for that bait for a bit of time.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a thread that they've played with a few times, like, can we trust Mycroft or not? So, yeah, it's something that comes back a lot of times, so I don't think we're still decided over that.
But, yeah, it's very ominous how it finished with him having the number 13 on his fridge, and he makes a very mysterious, ominous kind of phone call, like, there's something, you know, planned in the pipes and is going to go through. But yeah.
Anything else we want to talk about this episode? Anything I forgot? Any other thread? You didn't like the CG in the aquarium, right, Ahmed?
No, I really thought it was like really cheap, like LCD crappy quality, but I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe it was actually in an aquarium. I mean, I have no idea, but yeah. Maybe it was just in an aquarium.
No, I mean, it is the aquarium, right? I mean, have you not been there? It is pretty much what it is.
Yeah.
They enhanced some CG to it, but it's pretty much a location, so yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it was that terrible. I don't know.
It didn't at least jump out to me. Yeah, Martin, anything else you wanted to add about the episode?
No, but I just can't wait for the next two.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, because I think we are sort of like following your pattern of a kind of underwhelming first one, followed up by a smash and grab in the second and third ones. Yeah. Boom.
Yeah. I think the second one they're going to be dealing with, you know, again, the relationship between Watson and Sherlock, and will they not come together, and they'll probably forcibly come together, something like that, towards like a more emotional thing in the third one. Let me just check what the next one is called.
But this season's villain, we haven't seen him yet. We've seen him in the trailers, but we haven't seen him yet in the episode, so I bet we'll see him in the next episode now.
Moriarty? Or
There's another villain.
Is there another villain?
An older guy. Saw the trailer actually not that long ago. Hold on.
Yeah, I don't know which old guy you're talking about. So the next episode is next week. It's called The Lying Detective, and then The Final Problem, which I think I've read that book back in the day, if I'm not mistaken. It's been ages, though, so I don't remember that much about it.
I think I have as well, but I can't remember.
Yeah, it's been ages. Like, I was like 10 or 11 when I was reading Sherlock books, so maybe that's why I can figure stuff out, because I've read it like 20 years ago.
It's deep in your subconscious. You know the answers, dude.
Yeah, cool. I think that's it for this episode then, right? We're going to be talking about Sherlock for the next few weeks too. So let's keep it where we are. We can speculate a bit later on where the show will go when we're done with this. But overall, for me, kind of a mediocre episode. I wasn't a huge fan, but I'm definitely excited about the groundwork that they've laid for it, and I'm sure we're going to see more of Watson. We're going to see more of Wig Bus Lady. Maybe it's a bit more of who Lestrade is dating, because that seemed interesting too.
I wonder why they've thrown that in. Yeah,
I felt sad that Molly got a bit sidelined, as she always does, but I like her. I like that actress.
You've been saying that for, well, ever since.
Yeah, I like her.
This season's villain is Toby Jones.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good
Yeah. It is. Could be an absolute gem of a villain.
And we will see him next episode.
Nice. Okay, that's good. So let's look forward to it. Hopefully we can get that podcast out at a quick manner, so people can kind of catch up on it. Where can people find you?
Yeah, you can hit me up on at Martin Corley on Twitter.
What about you, Armin?
In Brussels, someone by the parliament.
He's just like wandering the streets.
Exactly, it's at a mad tweeting.
Yeah, random Egyptian dude walking around the Belgian parliament.
You'll find me somewhere, just by the parliament in Truman. It's right next to my house. I'm good. Just give them one of those caca, and I'll come down. It's all good.
Whoa, you too.
Exactly. See?
We all know the same references. That was Three Amigos, by the way. And I'm Asim Verney. You can follow us on U Podcasting. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a review. And everybody, thank for listening.